Ryan did such a good job explaining our cards. And I have one other sheet to bring to mind. If you would open your prayer and action guides, there's a green sheet in there that says sermon notes and response card. And this is meant to be a communication tool. And I'll give you a heads up. Keep this handy. We're going to use it later. Also, grab one of the blue cards. We're going to use that later. But this is a way to have you be able to write down things that stood out to you and also for you to share what God is saying so that we can pray for you and support you on the journey. And as you get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come here today from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. But we come seeking you. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Last week, we began a new sermon series entitled Vital Signs. We're all familiar with going to the doctor and having them check our vital signs. In this series, we're checking our spiritual vital signs. And the timing of this series could not be more God orchestrated. We planned the series long before we knew that we would be welcoming Pastor Mark onto our pastoral staff. And today we're celebrating his installation as our new senior pastor. What a perfect time to be assessing the spiritual health of our congregation and considering how we can continue to grow in a healthy way moving forward. We're exploring 7 faith practices that are essential to spiritual health. Last week, our theme was connect. It's vital for our spiritual health that we connect with others in meaningful relationships. We talked about last week how small groups are one of the best ways to make friends and to grow in faith. I was blown away. We had over 50 people last weekend sign up to be a part of a small group, which was just amazing. We also launched an online small group for the first time ever this past week. Many people found that a meaningful way to connect, from young adults to parents with young children who have early bedtimes, to people who travel, to a woman who recently lost her son and moved out of state to grieve with family, but knew that she needed to stay connected with her faith family. It's a really amazing group. Our theme for today is serve. I was really struck by the relevance and good news of this topic while spending some time with our student ministry team. Our student ministry team invited our staff to come and watch a video report from the Barna Group. And Barna recently completed its largest study of millennials and Gen Z, so people from 18 to 35. In partnership with World Vision, they interviewed over 15,000 people across 25 countries and 9 languages. And the study has revealed some wonderful things about this demographic. For example, the large majority say they care about what's going on in the world and they want to make a difference. The study also revealed some troubling statistics. One in particular stood out to me. Among those interviewed, only 1/3 felt like someone believed in them. That means 2 out of 3 feel like no one believes in them. In my life, I've encountered people across every age spectrum who either don't believe in themselves or feel like no one believes in them. I've felt that way at times. And so I want you to hear an encouraging word this morning. I believe in you. You might be thinking, well, you don't even know me. I may not know you yet. I would love to. But I already know something about you. I know that God believes in you. Our good God made you for a good purpose and has put good gifts inside of you so you can be part of God's good mission in this world. And there are few things more satisfying and essential to our spiritual health than when we're serving God, serving others out of our giftedness. We find that truth in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a Bible or Bible app, I invite you to turn to Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. We're going to read the passage and then consider its application in our life and in our church. I invite you to stand as you are able in honor of the reading of God's word. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. We are all one body, and we have the same Spirit. We've all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and through us all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. And that's why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This means that Christ first came down to the lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that his rule might fill the entire universe. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone told us something different or because someone had a clever lie and made it sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold on to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. I love this passage of scripture, but as I was reading through it, the first line, it begins with some really startling, unsettling words. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. The author, a man named Paul, uses words like prisoner and serving. Who wants to be a prisoner or a servant? Well, Paul did. And he thought you and I would too when we uncover who our master is and what he's called us to do. In the ancient time period when Paul was writing, if you were a servant, it was likely that you had a master who held you captive, who beat you down, who called you to lesser things. But Jesus is a different kind of master. In Ephesians 4:10, Paul explains that Christ first descended to the lowly world. In other words, before Jesus asked us to serve, Jesus stooped down to serve us. He came to set us free, to build us up, to call us to greater things. And Jesus described the kind of master that he is to his followers when he was on earth. A great example comes from Mark chapter 10. Jesus' 12 disciples were constantly arguing, jostling, bickering about who was the greatest among them. It was tearing their team apart. Jesus had to keep interrupting their disputes. And finally, he got fed up with it. And in Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45, Jesus said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is a different kind of master. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for yours. This master was willing to pay the punishment for your sin on the cross so that you could be forgiven and set free. This master was willing to suffer and die so that all could have the hope of eternal life. When we try to wrap our minds around the fact that Jesus was willing to give his life to serve us, it inspires us to give our lives to serve him. And this was the case for Paul, who wrote Ephesians. You might know that Paul started out persecuting Christians. He mercilessly hunted down followers of Jesus to have them arrested, tortured, even killed. It was during one of his pursuits that Jesus appeared to Paul. Jesus asked him, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" This stopped him in his tracks. And although Paul had done many hurtful things, in that moment, Jesus offered him mercy. He was forgiven and baptized. He was given a brand new name and a fresh start in life. More than that, Paul was called to be part of God's mission, to share the good news of Jesus' love and hope with the world. In spite of all of his faults and failures, God still believed in Paul. And that had a tremendous impact on Paul. From that day forward, he committed his life to serving Jesus. He considered himself a prisoner for serving the Lord. Along the way, Paul discovered why God believed in him, why God believes in you and me. He shares his insight in Ephesians 4, verse 7. It says, God gave each of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. God gave each of us gifts. We find these gifts, some of them listed in the passages on the screen. Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, 28 to 30, 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. I would encourage you this week to study those passages of Scripture, either on your own or with your small group. And among those listed are the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, language, leading, administration, giving, healing, nurturing, preaching, teaching, mercy, hospitality, encouraging, and prayer, just to name a few. And there are so many other gifts that God gives through which we can serve. I have a mentor who invites gifted entrepreneurs to be part of a ministry that provides business training for at-risk youth in the city so that they can have a hope of a better future. See, our good God made you for a good purpose and has given you good gifts so you can be part of God's good mission in this world. And Jesus modeled the kind of servant mindset that he's looking for in his followers. When we lack that serving mindset, everything falls apart. Think about the disciples. When they were thinking more about themselves and what they could get rather than on others and how they could help, tore their team apart. The same thing happens in our lives. I've heard it said that marriage is rough on selfish people. That the best marriages are two servants in love. When we lack a servant mindset, it doesn't just tear apart marriages. It can tear apart families, friendships, work departments, ministry teams, neighborhoods, cities, nations, churches, and so on. Sadly, that's what we often see in the world. But Jesus says, be different because I am different. The Apostle Paul planted more than 20 churches during his ministry. He was a gifted leader and strategist. As such, he could recognize the brilliance of God's design in giving different gifts to all of us and calling us to serve together. He recognized that serving is vital to unity and growth in the church. First, it's vital to unity. I saw a neat illustration of this principle on the show Brain Games. I don't know if any of you have seen that show before. But all of the contestants were given different set of materials, and they were asked to build a raft that would get them across the river. All of them tried, all of them failed. It wasn't until they had the idea to bring their materials together and work together that they were able to build a raft and successfully make it across the river. In the same vein, Jesus does not give any one person all of the gifts needed for his work. Instead, he gives each of us different gifts so that we're all needed and that we all need to work together. Isn't that brilliant? God fits us together perfectly. So I need you and you need me. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell him, I need you? Now tell him, you need me. Working together in this way requires some of the relational qualities that Paul mentioned at the beginning of Ephesians 4. Humble, gentle, patient, forgiving. We're to be humble because no one gift is better than another. It's just different. We're to be gentle. As we work together, we try not to hurt or be pushy or forceful or manipulative, but gentle. We're to be patient because working with other people is rarely the most efficient thing in the short run, but it's always the most effective thing in the long run. And we're to be forgiving because none of us is perfect. Jesus' disciples weren't perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. And I guarantee you, we will make mistakes and missteps along the way. And that's why Jesus said we need to learn to forgive as we've been forgiven, because we need each other. Along with unity, serving is vital for growth. And this is true on a personal level and a corporate level. When we serve, we grow personally. The very first mission trip that I went on took place when I was in college. And I traveled with a team to repair houses in Arkansas. One of the first things we did, however, was paint the old church where we were staying. And I was actually kind of disappointed and upset. Here I was, a young college guy ready to go out and change the world. And I was stuck painting an ugly old church. And I expressed my frustration to my leader, who very kindly put me in my place. She said, I don't care if this is flashy to you. It's not about you. It's about serving God and serving others. And that little old church housed many mission teams. And so by caring for the church, we were caring for many other teams and consequently many other people. And that was a moment of learning and growth in my life. And God uses serving to help us grow personally, to rid us of pride and selfishness, to widen our perspective, to help us look beyond ourselves, to develop our character to look more like Jesus. And again, we need those relational qualities Paul mentioned, this time for ourselves. We need to be humble and gentle and patient and forgiving with ourselves, because it takes time to grow and to develop our gifts. The goal is not perfection, but progress with God's help. And that brings us to the second kind of growth. We grow as a church when we serve together. We can travel farther, do more, and have a greater impact together than we ever could on our own. And I see this play out when we serve together within the church. This past week, we had our Encounter Healing service. So many different people came to serve with so many different gifts. We had some serving with instruments, some with singing, some with printing, some with decor, some with prayer, some with speaking, some with tech, some with slides, some with lights, some with greeting, some with organization. None of us could have done all of this on our own. But God knit us together perfectly so that we could reach and transform more lives. One of the people in attendance wrote me this note. They said, the healing service was more beautiful than ever imagined. Thank you to all the pastors and musicians and ministers who loved on us and treated us to great joy in the presence of our more than amazing God. I also see our church grow when we serve outside of these walls together by providing food for the hungry, clean water for the thirsty, shelter for the homeless, company for the lonely, justice for the oppressed, healing for the broken, hope for the discouraged. It's a big mission. And we can travel farther, do more, have a greater impact together than we ever could on our own. Serving is vital to unity and growth. And Paul begs us, therefore, to live a life worthy of your calling. God believes in you and has given you gifts to serve. Quick vital sign check. How are you doing with serving? I'd like to close with three suggestions of things that we can all do. D-U-E, just to help you remember. The D stands for discover. Discover the gifts that God has given you. This may start with a simple prayer asking God, would you please reveal what you have put inside of me? I found an online tool that can help us discover our gifts. If you jot me a note on your response card, I'd be happy to send you that link. You can also talk with a pastor or ministry leader. I recently met with a young adult who was convinced that she had no gifts. It only took a few minutes to uncover over a dozen gifts that God has given to her. We all have been given gifts. On October 6th, we're launching a new version of our new member class, which is designed to help people identify where their gifts are most needed in our church. Discover the gifts that God has given to you. The U stands for use. Use them. God believes in you. Use the gifts he's given you to serve God and serve others. We need your gifts. I promise you, you will never speak to a ministry leader or a director here that will tell you we do not need more people to serve. God continues to expand the work that we're doing, and we continually need more people to serve. For example, our student ministry needs more men who can lead small groups for our guys. At the end of the month, we're doing something called First, where we invite anybody who's never served in worship to serve for the very first time. The beauty of God's economy is that whenever we use our gifts to serve, it seems like we always get so much more back in return. I love talking to the people who serve for the first time and hearing stories of how it brought them joy and fulfillment to serve. We want you to experience that. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I gave you a heads up. So if you would humor me and bring out your green sheet and your blue card, would you just take those out and get them ready? Get the green sheet and a blue card. And here's what I'm asking you to do. If you are currently serving in Good Shepherd, would you write down what you're doing on the green sheet? So I would love to thank God for you and to pray for you. And if you are not yet serving with Good Shepherd, would you look through the blue card and check just one area of interest, just one. Anybody can serve at Good Shepherd. You don't have to be a member. And checking that box won't commit you to serve, but it will start a conversation that I hope will lead to helping you find the perfect fit for the gifts that God has given to you. So if you are serving, put that on the green. We'll pray for you. If you're not, put it on the blue card. And as Pastor Glenn sometimes says, if not now, when? If not here, where? Use the gifts God has given you. And then finally, the E stands for equip. In Ephesians, Paul explains that God gifts some to be leaders in the church. Their responsibility is not to do all the work themselves. That would totally defeat God's brilliant design. Instead, the role of a leader is to equip others so that we all can use the gifts that God has given to us. This is one of my favorite things to do as a pastor. I was watching a favorite classic movie of mine this week called Goonies. Have any of you seen Goonies? The kids in this movie, they find a treasure map and they embark on an adventure to uncover buried treasure. As a pastor, I sometimes feel like I've been given a treasure map. Every single person I meet has been given gifts by God. And it's so exciting and fun to help identify those gifts and empower people to use them for service of God and his church. That's not just the role of a pastor. Every single leader in our church has the awesome responsibility of equipping others. Remember, there's a lot of people in our world who feel like nobody believes in them. You can change that statistic. Believe in somebody. Call out the gifts that you see in somebody else. Invite them to serve with you. Share responsibilities and ownership. Mentor and raise up new leaders. When's the last time that you made someone else feel believed in? I'm going to say it one more time. I believe in you. Because God believes in you. And God has given you gifts to serve. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. In a moment, Pastor Mark is going to make his commitment to serve with our church. And I want to give you an opportunity now to think about how God is calling you to serve with the gifts that you've been given. If you put your name and email on the green sheet, I promise that I'll pray for you and write to you. I'm going to give you time now to think about what is God calling you to do? Is it discover? Is it use? Is it equip? And I'm going to give you a moment to use either the green sheet or the blue card as appropriate. So take some time with God, and then I'll close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for believing in us, for making us for a good purpose, putting good gifts in us, and entrusting your great mission into our hands. We confess that sometimes we fail to have a servant mindset. We fail to use the gifts that you've given to us. We thank you for sending Jesus so that we could be forgiven and given a brand new start to live the great calling that you've placed on our lives. If there's anybody here today who's never before received the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus, I pray that they would make today their day to do that, to ask for you to forgive them, to be the Lord and Savior of their life, to start a party in heaven and a brand new life on earth. And God, together we ask that you'd give us the wisdom to know how to apply the scripture and this teaching and the courage to take the steps that you're calling us to take. So the Good Shepherd will always be a church that will reach and transform spiritually distracted people so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.